Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 33 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. I am your host, Jim Viscardi, and with me today is not Megan Peters. She is normally here, but not here today. So we're just left with Christian Hoffer.
I am here, and I am very serious.
Christian, I think this is the first one that you and I have done.
Yeah, no, we have now completed the full circuit of all possible combinations, with the exception of me doing a solo show.
Right. Megan and I have done it. You and Megan have done it. And now you and I.
Man, so here we are. So this is just going to be like 45 minutes of just me going ham on you.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, if you're new to this show, welcome. We talk about all things Pokemon related. Pokemon toys, gear, stuff, games, both the video, mobile, and, well, not both, all video, mobile, and trading card variety. If they put out another version of a Pokemon board game, we'll talk about that too, because that's just the kind of people we are. We talk about the anime, we talk about the manga. Look, if it's got Pokemon in its name, title, or anywhere on the packaging, it's going to be addressed on this show. It's broken up into three parts. You would think 33 weeks in, I would have gotten this down by now. Three parts.
We have literally never changed the format of the show. Like, it's been the same since episode one.
The first part is a new, we just hit the news really, really quick. Bam, bam, bam. And then we jump into a deeper dive. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been going through Sword and Shield. We will continue that today. We'll get to the fun part of the game. And at the very, very end, Christian gives us a Pokemon fact of the week to help make you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. I think that gets all the business out of the way.
Okay.
Other than you can find this show wherever podcasts are found. We show up every Thursday, you know.
But usually we do that at the end. Just not having Megan with you is really throwing you off your game.
Really throwing me off my game. Sometimes we read listener reviews. If you leave a 5-star review on iTunes and we read it on the air towards the end of the show, you get a free t-shirt.
And that's all the time we have today, guys. We just skipped over everything.
I'm flushing the format. It's no rules barred here. Pokemon.
Yeah,
was a category on Jeopardy.
It was.
Which is pretty cool.
It was.
The questions were easier than any Pokemon game I've ever played.
Yeah, they were kind of a joke. I did like that the entire segment, so, you know, not only did they have a straight up Pokemon category, all of the other categories had Pokemon references as their titles. So they had Pikachu Choo, which I'm assuming was about trains. Geodude, which I'm guessing was about rocks. And there's a couple other ones, too, that I couldn't remember.
Geodude showing up on Jeopardy.
God, I totally forgot.
See?
Man.
Woo.
Yikes.
Jeopardy Geodude has officially gotten more mainstream attention than any of Christian's favorites.
That's not true at all.
It's true.
I mean, for crying out loud, we just had a fan went. Oh, we're supposed to mention this anyways. A fan went and sent us on Twitter this week.
That's right.
A picture of a Bulbasaur car, which you know, not only was colored as Bulbasaur and featured a Bulbasaur sticker and a Bulbasaur Vandy plate, but the back seat was like stuffed full of Bulbasaur. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm a little uncomfortable that they found my car so quickly. But, you know,
putting that much stuff in your, on top of the back seat in the rear view mirror or window, that's dangerous. I appreciate it.
As long as you can see out the back, I mean, you know, that's the important thing. I mean, they have back seat, you know, cameras nowadays. I mean, that's the entire point of those.
Right.
You know, Jeopardy. Yeah.
Yeah. So Bulbasaur was not on Jeopardy, so it doesn't matter. No one cares.
I mean, it's.
All right. Let's keep moving.
I hate you so much.
So some of the questions on the Pokemon thing were just basically like, you know, what is a trainer and what is evolution? Like those were the answers. Like this happens when a Pokemon grows up or they had like a weird thing. Oh, I wish I had it on me.
They had the Thanksgiving parade.
Right.
They had an evolution question. They had a training question. What was the 400 question? I can't remember what
Hold
it was.
Hold on, I am pulling it up.
What really grinds my gears is that they didn't get to the $1,000 question. So
we'll never know what it was?
Yeah, we'll never know. You know, I want to know what their idea of a hard Pokemon question is.
200 points. Pikachu, the most iconic Pokemon character, has shown up as a 50-foot balloon in this U.S. or annual U.S. parade. What is Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. You would have gotten that wrong.
I would have gotten it wrong. 400 points. In the franchise's 20th anniversary year in 2016, this in the real world version was released.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta catch them all.
Well, yeah. What is Pokemon Go?
Okay. Well, I'm reading the question. You give the answer.
Oh, is that what we're doing? Okay.
600 points. The process of a Pokemon turning into another is known as this. Like plants and animals adapting and changing over long periods.
What is evolution?
Hey, good job. 600 points for you. 800 points. Like a person who prepares horses for racing, it's someone who captures Pokemon and readies and directs them in battles.
What is a trainer? Oh, this question originally I was like, oh, they're talking about Pokemon breeding. Nope. They meant trainer. They definitely meant trainer.
Like preparing someone for horses, and then like the thing is like readies and directs them in battles. Is someone doing horse battling? Like what?
I hope so. Oh my god! Did you see the video of the two moose fighting?
Oh yeah!
It's like I bet horse battles are like that too. Only a little less intense because they don't have the giant antlers and also aren't moose.
Anyway, I think things like this are always very cool.
Yeah,
I like when they do this. It's just cool to get them into the. We know Pokemon is a huge mainstream thing, and so you know to see it on a stage like this, where my parents and grandparents are watching, is pretty cool. Because then inevitably the conversation was the text I got. Minutes later, because I didn't even realize my mother watched Jeopardy. But she was like, hey, Pokemon was on Jeopardy. Did you watch it? And I wanted to be like, no, I don't watch Jeopardy. Not that I have anything against people who watch Jeopardy, because I know Jeopardy's got a diehard fan base.
I am a
Wheel of Fortune guy.
Are you really?
The show that I love Wheel of Fortune.
Wow.
That's the show I watch. So when Pokemon shows up on Wheel of Fortune, I'll know.
I'm sure it has at some point over its like 50-year history.
That's true.
You know what I did, and I will admit I'm a little proud of this. So, you know, people were texting me, they're like, yeah, did you know that Pokemon was on Jeopardy today? I was like, oh yeah, no, I did know about that because the Pokemon Company told me in advance, because the Pokemon Company tells me things.
Wow.
I'm like, gosh, you're the worst.
That's a humble brag if I ever heard one.
I do that with Pokemon stuff. Like there's exactly like two things that apparently impresses my friends. Like One, the fact that, you know, the Pokemon Company occasionally tells me things. And two, that I know the actor Joe Manganiello on an acquaintance. Not even like an acquaintance level, but I interview him several times a year about Dungeons & Dragons. Yeah. And for whatever reason, some of my friends who just don't give a crap about nerdy things are just like, wait, what? It's like, oh, yeah, no, Darcy and I like have had multiple conversations with him. Darcy like horrified him about... like snapping turtles getting their heads ripped off.
All right.
They're like, this is the coolest thing ever. Anyways, so those are my two humble brags. That's literally all I have in terms of humble brags are those two things.
Nice.
So back to Pokemon.
Back to Pokemon. Christian, have you ever spent 67 hours trying to catch a single Pokemon?
No, never. Ever.
And if you were to, would it be a Wooloo?
No, it would not. This, I remember when you sent this link, and I saw it that morning on Reddit. And so this story is, somebody posts on Reddit, they always like to start with a shiny starter. And because in Pokemon Sword and Shield, these Pokemon are shiny locked, which means that you cannot obtain a shiny starter Pokemon from obtaining it from Leon at the beginning of the game.
Yep.
So, you know, I think you can breed them. Like get a shiny through breeding. I'm not 100% sure. I'll probably get yelled at on Twitter afterwards about that. But you cannot get it through Leon. So he's like, well, I always have a shiny Pokemon starter, so I will just need to get another one. And so he spent 67 hours to collect a shiny Wooloo, which is just insane. Like, one, I think at this point in time, I've put a little bit over 67 hours into this game, but not by much.
And he's just getting started.
And it's like, and two, it's like, oh my God. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Shiny Wooloo is fantastic.
It's a great shiny. It is a black sheep, mm-hmm. which is awesome. Perfect.
I do like that this generation, it seems like they tried with the shinies. I think they're moving away from smooth the color palettes one color over. So, you know, I get that. I like shiny Wooloo. I would not spend 67 hours. I mean, I actively shiny breed. Like, I'm a shiny hunter. That's my end game. I don't usually breed for competitives. But, like, you know, I'll spend, I think the most I've ever spent trying to get a shiny Pokemon was maybe 4 or 5 hours. Because I'll just Masuda it, which is a method in which you have a foreign Pokemon. I usually try to get a foreign Ditto. And then you can breed it with a Pokemon from your generation, from your country. And that will increase the likelihood of getting a shiny. So I do that. I have my shiny charm. And then I just go ham on eggs. So that's like the most effective method, to be blunt.
I've never really gotten into shiny, mainly because I don't necessarily think I understand it. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, like, is the process basically if you just encounter the same Pokemon over and over and over and over and over again,
that is one method. So there's shiny. So there's a couple different methods to increase your odds of getting shiny Pokemon. There's the shiny chain method. There's the chain method, which if you encounter and defeat Pokemon of, you know, over and over and over again, that kind of slowly increases your odds of finding one of those shiny Pokemon in the wild.
But you have to do them in a row. Like if you fight a Wooloo and then fight a something else.
I'm not sure how it goes in this generation.
Okay.
But in past generations, you could just run away, I think. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've done any of the chaining because frankly, it frustrates the heck out of me. Like I used to do, Sun and Moon had a really nice way where, you know, how Pokemon would call for help.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of like your shiny chain method, was you could like stack those encounters and just beat the snot out of the Pokemon that would come for help. And that would increase your odds that the next one called would be shiny. So that was a nice method, but it just takes forever. And, you know, like it's a little bit easier this generation because you can switch Pokemon in and out. But before, it's like, okay, so I've exhausted all my Pokemon's like offensive moves. Now what do I do? So they took away that problem. So like I think it's easier than ever before. And now for Pokemon Sword and Shield, the more Pokemon that you battle of a certain species, the more it increases your odds of getting a shiny Pokemon.
Okay.
So I think that's another way. So just by encountering Pokemon normally, like you don't have to necessarily chain them to get that benefit. So that adds like a base level benefit, and then it further increases by shiny by chain.
And then there's the nursery method that you just use.
Yeah, which is frankly it's the least painful because you can just, you know, you throw in a Pokemon with flame body, get 5 eggs, and you just start hatching them. That's what I do. And then you release them or you use them as trade bait. Yeah, excellent. So that's what shiny. I do. That's what I do when I've done everything there is to do in the games. I spend hours trying to hatch shiny Pokemon.
Costumed winter Pokemon are coming to Pokemon Go. Yay!
Well, you're going to be a little disappointed, Jim, because last week you mentioned that you...
I know, I wanted the Charmander, and the Charmander's not there.
Yeah, however, it is a Stantler. So instead of having a Charmander wearing a Stantler costume, you're getting a Stantler with bells.
That's pretty cute.
Yeah, it is. We're also getting Pikachu, the Pikachu family wearing beanie winter hats. They actually did a big announcement of a bunch of holiday stuff. So they basically, I think their PR person must be getting ready to go like away for the holidays.
For the holidays. Because
they did like a massive dump of information yesterday.
What? When does it start?
The official holiday event starts the 21st. Or the 24th, and it goes through January 1st. And okay. So during that, there will be a couple of different... So Ice-type Pokemon will show up more often. You'll have a chance of getting Shiny Snover and Shiny Stantler in the wild. Glacial Lures will last for 2 hours. And any Eevee that's evolved into Glaceon will no last resort. They're adding 3 new Pokemon, Cubchu and its evolution Beartic, along with Trigonal, which is the Pokemon that's literally a snowflake. Mm-hmm. And Trigonal will only appear when you use Glacial Lures. I'm trying to think what else. You'll also get like different bonuses on different days. So like on some days you'll get like extra catch candy. On other days you'll get extra Stardust. Sometimes you'll get decreased egg distances. So they're doing all that. They're getting there's a couple of new raid Pokemon that are coming. They're having a special raid weekend the weekend before Christmas, the 19th? Yes, or the 20th, or whatever that weekend is. Ho-Oh and Lugia are appearing in raid battles again.
It's a good end of the year.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they're loading it up. And then the weekend after Christmas, they're doing a special winter... it's called the Winter Weekend. And quite... I know Regis is coming back into raids. There's so many things. They announced like 6 things yesterday, mm-hmm. guys. I mean, it was nuts. I was
including
like, oh,
the community day.
Yeah, well, the community day is this weekend, this right. coming weekend. They already announced that. So that's the big one. This is my favorite community day of the year because I can't always do the community days. Like, so this is like your big second chance. All the Pokemon that were featured in community days over the course of the year are coming back. They'll spawn in more, spawn in greater numbers, and their shiny rates will be up. So if you didn't get shinies of certain Pokemon, here's your chance. They come with their community day moves.
All of them from the year are in this one.
All 11.
That is cool.
And then during the actual community day hours on Saturday and Sunday, they basically split up. So like during 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, half those community day Pokemon will be spawning even more. And then on Sunday, the other half will be spawning even more. Mm-hmm. And there's also the last of the Swords of Justice will be jumping into raid battles as well. So I believe that's Virizion. Big Pokemon Go stuff.
If you've been sleeping on Pokemon Go, now is the time to play.
Yeah. I haven't played Pokemon Go in a few days, but I'll be playing this weekend for sure.
Competitive Pokemon rules have been announced.
Yes. Yes. So the VGC is back beginning on January 4th. They will be switching over to Pokemon Sword and Shield. It's mostly the same, basically the things you'd expect. It's a doubles battle. It'll be double battles again. They've banned the 3 legendary Pokemon and Mew from competition. And the other thing is they will be cycling in Gigantamax Pokemon. So right now, only a handful of Gigantamax Pokemon are available, and they will cycle in more as those Pokemon become more widely available in the games. Mm-hmm. So right now, it's basically like Snorlax, Centiscorch, Sandaconda, Corviknight, Butterfree, and Dreadnought, mm-hmm. I think that's Charizard.
It was weird because earlier today, the Pokemon Company put out like another video being like, look at all these new Gigantamax Pokemon, but it's really just
the same
been in the game. Like it's the messaging to me comes off a little weird where it's like, okay, I get it. Not everyone has played the game yet. People are probably getting the game on Christmas or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they can get more excited about some of the Pokemon that they're going to see. But the game has also been out. And so anyone who really wants to know about Pokemon, it's already knows.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, the big surprise to me was I did not realize that Sandaconda and Centiscorch were in that, were also getting increased raids until today. You know, they reported on it as if that was a new thing, but apparently that's been going on since the games came out, which
that's
makes
really,
sense.
It's really I've weird done- because Centiskorch, I get all the effing time.
Yeah, I know.
All
I say,
the time.
I get Santaconda constantly. You know, well, it's a sword. It's, you know, I get Santaconda because I play sword. You get Centiskorch because you're a shield player. Yeah. And so, yeah, I didn't realize that.
Us shield players win out on that one. Centiskorch is way cooler than Santaconda.
I mean, Santaconda, though, still has its Sandspit ability. So, I mean, I think that, you know, to be honest, Santaconda, if you're playing as a, if you want to use a weather team, I mean, Santaconda is the way to go because, you know, you get a free setup with it.
It's just dumb looking.
I mean, it's a giant, like, sandstorm whirlwind that's also a snake. I like I like Centiskorch's, like, you know, it suddenly becomes like a heat coil when it attacks.
Yeah, that always, it's just so cool.
That always makes me laugh. I just did a Centiskorch battle. I haven't gotten a Centiskorch yet, like a Gigantamax one. You know, I've been doing basically like daily battles, like max raid battles with it. Like a buddy of mine has shield, so I'll hop into his raids all the time, and I just can't freaking get it.
I'm having a very, very hard time trying to get Snorlax, mainly because like I just can't find. I either can't find raids or I can't find people.
Well, you know, Jim, if you friended me, that
we had this conversation last week, and I expected like a hey, why don't you send me your friend code? And
I was expecting you to send me a friend code. I already have Snorlax. I already have Snorlax. Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, I will be more than happy to help you out with my Eternatus, because that's I think who I use for Snorlax raids, because I don't have any good like fighting Pokemon like use, like really use. Like I've discovered that Sirfetch not all that great. he's not. I love him, but he's just like he's well, really under-
like my Cinterace is like I love like he's great. Especially for a lot of the Pokemon that I find myself coming up against. And it's, if I'm not using him, I'm using Grimmsnarl. If I'm not using him, I actually use Toxelectric or whatever.
Toxicity. Yeah. I use him. He was like my go-to during like, you know, my actual two go-tos. We'll talk about more of this in a little bit. My two go-tos in the late game were Berserker and Toxicity. Those were like, that's who I use basically throughout like the last 25% of the game, like all the time.
So anyway, last thing before we get to our deep dive for the maybe one listener that cares, Pokemon Masters has finally introduced Giovanni and Mewtwo. It's it took longer than I would have expected them to bring that one out, just sort of given. I would have expected, and I get it, there's no such thing as synergy as far as these types of things go, but it would have been cool if while Pokemon Go was doing all of their Team Rocket stuff for Pokemon Masters to be like, oh, we have Team Rocket stuff too. Here's Giovanni. But yeah, nobody cared. So
no, I'm still like, I saw a stat today that like basically they're making like Pokemon Masters is making like $7,000 over in the US a day. I mean, that's terrible.
That's not
that's really bad.
That's, and, like, that's maybe like 40 people a state.
You know, the issue is that one, you know, they are, to their credit, they are introducing some new like sync pairs, but they all kind of suck. They only now just finally started to do like holiday, so you can get like a Christmas Rosa, I think, and a Christmas somebody else.
Too little, too late, Pokemon.
Yeah, it really is. I'm shocked. Like, you know, DNA, the company that makes it, you know, they know what they're doing. So like, I will be fascinated to see like what the heck happened here.
Because to me, it feels like that they thought the Pokemon brand by itself would have been big enough to keep the game going without really understanding what it is about the Pokemon brand that people like.
Yeah, and I just think that, honestly, focusing on the trainers was more of a mistake than they thought. Like, you know, like it'd be just because like I liked the trainers. Like I thought it was cool that they were bringing back some of, you know, the trainers, but
right. But that's maybe 10.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I was about to say, I truly did not care about the majority of the trainers that they brought into the game, and they're holding back too many of the good ones. Like, you still can't get Red. Yeah. You still can't get Stephen Stone. You still can't get Cynthia. Like, these are the trainers. Like, I don't care about some random Elite Four member from, like, Pokemon Black. Like, I don't. Like, I couldn't even name some of these guys. Like, just, seriously, like, I'd have to look it up. Like, no one cares about people like Lieutenant Surge and stuff.
Stop.
Like that.
Stop it. Everyone cares about the original gyms. My original gym favorite is Lieutenant Surge.
I don't know. I don't even think I have a favorite original gym person, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Maybe Koga. Just because he's a ninja, but I thought they were all kind of tools. Like, to be honest, like, I can't remember, like, because they were just, like, all, they were, like, okay character designs to beat him up, and then you never saw him again. I don't know. That's fair. That's how all the early games were, and that's, I think,
now I'm going to put a call out to the listeners to us know what their favorite Gen 1 gym trainer was, gym leader was. I'm actually curious to see what the results come back as.
Well, I'm curious to see if it's how many of those fans have a favorite because of the anime, because the anime actually gave some of those gym leaders personalities.
Yeah, that's true.
While, you know, the games, they really didn't. Yeah. You know, they have like
I would say Surge had the same personality in the game that he did in, he was very intense. I think that's why I like Surge very much. He was intense. You could feel his intensity.
But he was like, oh, your Pikachu is weak. He has a Thunderstone. That's the only way your Pikachu is going to beat up my Raichu.
I remember that. They were like, you need to evolve your Pokemon. And Ash's like, I'm not evolving my Pikachu.
He's like, no, this is the first gym battle that I actually need to, like, do something at.
That's true. He is a little problematic when it comes to the pushing the whole evolve thing.
Yeah.
But oh well. All right. I just want to start talking more about Sword and Shield because I'm at the point, like, I've beaten the game now. And so when we get back, more on our walkthrough of Sword and Shield, and we'll tell you what the best end game Pokemon are and why the Dragon Gym is kind of dumb. Yeah. Right, when we get back.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so I finished the game.
Both congratulations,
the championship, and that really weird end part.
The post game is great.
The post game is really
it's like so, I
so weird. We're not talking about that just yet, but it is really, really weird. Okay. So we left off basically on the way to Opal, having to go through Glimwood Tangle and to get to Balonia, which is how I assume that's how it's pronounced.
I think it's Balonia, but meh. They're never going to tell us. We'll have to find this out when the anime gets there in like in 2 years.
to me... This was one of the, there were a lot of wow moments from just a design standpoint in the game. Mm-hmm. To me, this was the first whoa
kind of moment.
Like it was the forest leading up to it. And then the town itself was just gorgeous from lighting, from design, all of it. I thought was really, really well done.
It was so freaking cool, and I really, you know, the one thing that I'll note about Pokemon Sword and Shield, and I don't know if this was like a deliberate thing or if this was just a like, oh god, we're running out of time thing, they have two really cool cities. mm-hmm. that you spend almost no time in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Bound Leah and Spike Myth are both like really interesting from a lore standpoint.
Uh-huh.
And from like a personality standpoint, and you do nothing in them. Like Bound Leah, like, you know, the only other thing you do in Bound Leah besides like go to the gym is, you know, this is, you know, it ties into your ghost girl. Your ghost girl mission that you get this time around. But yeah, like it's gorgeous. It's honestly the coolest part of the Galar region, like from a pure aesthetic standpoint.
If you haven't gotten there yet, and obviously we should say spoilers obviously are incoming. So if you haven't gotten to this part of the game, turn back and come back. But everything from like just even like the forest and the you know the fairy type Pokemon and stuff that you'd come up against is just really, really cool. Like just like a look, even the music, you know, mm-hmm. the soundtrack even for that area, I just thought was incredibly well done. And it's paired with a very cool, eccentric old lady gym trainer.
Oh yeah, Opal is the best. her moment where she like basically kidnaps Speed is probably like the most personality I think I've ever seen any Pokemon game have. Like, you know, like I get some of the complaints about like the Pokemon game, but I do feel that the gym leaders actually play a role in the story this time around. Like every single one of them.
During the leading up to the championship, during the championship, and even in the post game.
Like, you know, this is what I'm talking about. Like when Pokemon Masters comes out with these guys, like, I'd be into that. It's too late now. Like, you know, but it's hypothetical.
I thought it was really cool because you meet Opal before heading to her gym.
Yeah.
And at first, I thought she was going to be like just this weird, creepy old lady, socialite, cat lady type, but with fairy type Pokemon. And instead, she's more like
she's a big theater nerd.
Like a big theater nerd. Yeah. Or like even she reminds me of, did you see John Wick 3?
No.
Okay, well, there's a part in John Wick 3 where he basically goes back to where he grew up from, and it's an old Russian lady who trains a bunch of ballerinas in addition to assassins, and she basically sits in the audience and, you know, shouts at them to be better and all that jazz. And so that's immediately what I thought of when I walked into Opal's gym and all that. And her gym challenge is pretty cool.
Yeah, you get boosts, like you get buffs or debuffs based on if you answer the questions wrong. It ticked me off, like her questions during the battle, where she's like, what's my favorite color? And it's like, it's pink. She's like, oh, actually, I like purple. And then she debuffs your Pokemon. It's like, you suck. You're the worst. Like, what is this nonsense? Yeah. Like, I am going to kill you.
Yeah, it is. It's that moment from Monty Python where they have to answer the questions to get across the bridge. And that's basically what
it is.
What this is.
It's a great gym battle. Like I like this gym. I like this gym, and the subsequent one, the Sir Chester gym, where you have to go and you can't see anything, and you're trying to avoid the pits.
I cannot believe you like that. That was so frustrating.
Real quick.
Last note on Opal. I had just picked up my Impidimp, and I guess I forget what Impidimp's middle evolution name is.
I can't remember either.
I trained it up to basically that point, and that was and I thought, oh man, this is going to be what I need for it, and it turns out no, that wasn't what I needed for it, but she's a fairly easy gym trainer to fight once you finally get to her.
It's Morgrim,
that's it. But it's cool because Opal is a character that sticks with you probably the most
mm-hmm.
throughout the entire game, especially because of the relationship that she inevitably has with Bead. But okay, moving on to the next gym, which was the Chichester gym puzzle with the pits. So if you haven't gotten there yet, the gym puzzle is you cannot see. They give you this tool that is supposed to vibrate or would give a signal or whatnot if you get too close to an edge. The thing doesn't work. Just does not work. And so you are basically blindly trying to find the right path, memorizing what path to go before you fall into a pit. And there's no avoid, like sometimes you can avoid the other gym trainers in certain gyms. There were no avoiding gym trainers in this one. So be prepared to fight, but holy, I want to say a ton of bad words. I could not stand it. It was so frustrating.
So quick question, since it was an ice gym for you.
Yep.
Was it snow that was covering?
It was snow.
Okay. So in Sword, it was like a sandstorm and it was like sand pits and stuff like that.
Right. So you had Gordy and I had Melanie.
I'll say this. I freaking hate Gordy. Gordy, everything about Gordy like annoys me. I've never been happier. Just the pound.
So
the
I know nothing stuff. About Gordy. What kind of person is Gordy?
He goes and he reminds me of Pat McAfee. From ESPN, and he is a bro. He's got sunglasses, he's got this like bro haircut, and he is the worst. Like, and then like, you know, I find out that like Melanie is his mom.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah, which I was not aware that Melanie was that old.
I didn't either.
Yeah. I was like, oh, man. I mean, and for one.
Wait, is that something you learn in the game?
Yeah, yeah. If you once you read their rare league cards, it talks about. Yeah, that's something that's in the games. And like, yeah, I wasn't aware of that, too, until a reader pointed it out to me. But I was like, oh. Oh, like one, like, and like Melanie's kind of like, you know, I was like, you know, this is kind of like a body positive thing. Like Melanie, you know, she's not a skinny twig like 95% of women in the Pokemon universe.
But you can tell that she's a bit of a socialite in a way.
Yeah, she's very elegant. She's got like a cloak and like the babushka
and a big like fur, like scarf.
Yeah, and she gave birth to a Tonglebleat.
So like, okay, so here's a weird little logic thing that I can't, you know, like, and we talk about this all the time, when you squint too hard games make no sense. I don't understand how the two games that take place in the same world have different gyms in the same cities. If the city still existed, but in one game you were allowed to go fight and whatnot, and you couldn't access a gym in another game, to me, that would make more sense. But it makes no sense to have the same gym with different, completely different trainers.
It's very clearly alternate universes. You know, they establish.
But it's not alternate universes. I mean, what's going to happen when they come up across them in the anime and all that?
But that is actually an excellent question. I mean, I have no idea. Maybe they'll just have 10 gyms. I mean, like, Ash, I don't even know if like Ash is going to compete in a Pokemon League in this anime, to be honest. True. Like, he's a research, you know. I don't know if he's a Pokemon champion now. He doesn't need these like leagues.
Okay,
you
know? but let's say he goes to Chinchester. Who is he going to interact with?
Probably
Gordy or Melanie?
It'll probably be both of them, because he's trying to be like, who is this awful like man child and this like beautiful woman? Okay. Oh God, they're related.
All right. So anyway, so that's Chinchester. That gym puzzle was, oh my God, the worst. I just liked, wait. So then was your lead up to that gym a sand type approach?
Yeah, it was sand. It was all like sand pits and like a sandstorm instead of a snowstorm. I did not have any problems with the mazes. I got through all of them on my first go around.
Using that stupid tool? That stupid tool doesn't work.
It worked fine for me. I will say that my wife was watching it on the big screen as I was playing this, and she like basically agreed with you. She's like, this would be the most frustrating thing in the world. I was like, you're not even playing this game. She's
my
like, this
God,
thing
I hated
sucks.
It so much. Anyway. Okay, so moving on. I forget the name of the next town.
After that, we go to Spike Myth.
Right, Spike Myth. Okay, so Spike Myth, where you realize that's where Marnie is from, who has been sort of awkwardly challenging you. Every so often, Team Yell follows her around. You can't really tell if she's good or bad yet, just because.
I mean, she's good.
She has good intentions, but her association with Team Yell, you still, like, at this point, you know, if you haven't sort of already been hit over the head a million times with the fact that Chairman Rose is the bad guy in this game.
Actually, the bad guy.
You know, that maybe Yell, you know, is up to something, and that Marnie is a part of it at some point. But it is here when you realize that, no, Marnie is actually really cool, and the town that she's from is in a shipping container, from what I can tell. A large shipping container that's on the coast.
So I was trying to figure out what city this was supposed to be. Uh-huh. You know, so, like, you know, you flip around England and you kind of, like, look around. It's like, okay, what is this supposed to be? And I can't decide if this is supposed to be, like, Liverpool. I mean, I think this is supposed to be Liverpool.
I mean, that's given, like, the Team Yell of it all, it makes sense. Yeah,
that was kind of my thought, because, like, originally Spikemouth, I thought, like, oh, maybe they're talking about Bournemouth, which Bournemouth, that's actually the Premier League team that I support. I'm a supporter of the most obscure freaking Premier League team in the world. But that's like, no, Bournemouth's is a resort town. Like, yeah, it's got, like, some shipping stuff, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is supposed to be Liverpool, because it's got the musical thing going. You know, Liverpool has the big, you know, it had the big, like, music scene with the Beatles, and I think it had, like, you know, some ties to the punk movement, and Team Yell is a bunch of punks. So I'm pretty sure this is supposed to be a Liverpool.
But you get there, and, like, the gate to Spikemouth is closed.
Yeah, because Team Yell doesn't want anyone getting through. So therefore, Marnie is the only person that qualifies.
Right.
Is their reasoning there. And then it's at that point that you find out. The other thing that really sucks about this, like, Spikemouth, like, fantastic aesthetic, like, run downtown. it's literally a hallway. So you get to the town, you can heal up your Pokemon, and then there's, like, a little booth, like, oh, gym challenges this way, and then you walk through the city's one street, you get a couple of Team Yell encounters, and then you show up at, like, a basketball, like, an outdoor basketball court and fight the gym leader.
I'll tell you what it feels like, though. It felt like a take on Streets of Rage, in a way. Where it looked like it's that very much that side-scrolling kind of adventure, and there's people popping out of doors and dark alleys, and they're like, "Hey, I'm going to fight you," and then you do your fights and whatnot. But it reminded me of Streets of Rage, especially when you get to the end, because all of the end fights either end up in a bar or in, like, a caged basketball court.
My favorite part about that sequence actually was when, like, the normal Mr. Mime suddenly shows up and, like, blocks your path, and you're like, "What are you doing here, you non-Galarian Mr. Mime?" And then you turn around, there's Team Yell members, like, "Ah, we set a trap for you." And it's like, "Oh, like, why you're not even the right species, Mr. Mime. You're not a dark type Pokemon. What are you doing here?"
It's really weird. But now I'm having a total brain fart on who the gym leader's name is, and it's really
Lars, I think.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Pierce. It's Pierce.
Pierce.
Yep. Okay. So this whole town, like, it's very dark. Like, it looks like that they cannot see the sky. Like, the impression I get is that it is literally a town inside a shipping container, which I know it makes absolutely no sense.
It could be. I mean,
especially with, like, that front door, it is really, really weird. It's like a garage. It's just like a big garage that this entire town is in. Okay. So then you finally get to Pierce, and then you realize that Pierce is Marnie's older brother, and he's a punk rocker. And that's why Team Yell loves both of them. Yay, yay, yay. And then, you know, and then Pierce ends up being a very, you know, another a big character that becomes a very big part of the game that helps you sort of down the line. I think, he's a pretty cool kind of, you know, low-key guy. He's got a really cool look. His Pokemon are exactly what you would expect them to be. And then you move on. But again, like, the two towns we just talked about, you literally spend, there's no side thing you need to do. There's none of that. You just go in, heal your Pokemon up, fight the gym, and leave.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, given, you know, the importance that those two characters kind of hold in the later parts of the game. But really, it's just like, okay.
Yeah, it's odd. It really is strange from like a just like how they built how this game was designed. Like the second half of the Galar region just feels very empty. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, outside the wild area, which, mind you, that's now all I do.
Yeah,
I haven't left the wild area in literally weeks. Like, I have not. Probably since this game physically came out, I've been in the wild area. I only go into like Modestoke or I can't remember what the other gym.
I always just go to the meeting spot just to heal my Pokemon.
Yeah, like those are the only two places I go to. Is I'm just in those Pokemon centers all the time, and you know, because it has everything you need.
It's true, it does. Yeah. So after Spike Mouth, you head back to Hammerlock.
Yes, right? Hammerlock. Yeah.
You go back to Hammerlock, and you can fight
Rayhan,
the non-dragon
dragon user. Like, let me tell you something. One, I built a glorious team that was solely meant to counter dragon-type Pokemon. Like, it was great. It had fairies. It had ice. Like, you know, it was... I put a lot of work into doing this. Okay? Yep.
So
and then this MF-er, you know, shows up with the ground team. Like, I think, like, his Gigantamax Pokemon is, like, Duraludon, which I guess is a dragon type.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, you're running around, and you're just like...
It's just crazy because most of this guy's Pokemon, and Christian, maybe why don't you pull them up so we can sort of go through who he's got. But most of his Pokemon, if I remember correctly, are dragon is the secondary type for almost all of them, with the exception of maybe Haxorus, who I just hate in general. He has a Haxorus, right?
I think he does. So let me take
Haxorus in general.
So like, no, not in the first battle. He does.
He does in the second.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't on any of them. So okay. So in the first battle, this is what I'm talking about here. He shows up with a Gigalith. That's a rock type.
Yep.
He shows up with a Flygon, which is ground secondary type dragon. Then he throws a Santaconda, which, you know, that's a pure ground type.
Mm-hmm.
And he finishes things off with a Duraludon, which he Gigantamaxes. So, you know, this entire team is built around... He runs a sand team. It's a weather team that he runs. Yeah. It's a doubles weather team. Because that's the other thing. You have to do a stupid effing weather battle against this knob.
Coming into this gym, all you hear about Rayhan is how strong of a dragon type Pokemon trainer he is.
Yeah.
They're like, Rayhan, the strongest dragon type trainer we've ever seen, and blah blah, and his dragons are so great. And then you get there and there's one and a half dragons.
Yeah. I was about to say, and here's the other thing, like of the 16 moves that his Pokemon carry in this initial battle, two of them are dragon types, and they're both the same freaking move. He only has breaking swipe. What a letdown. Like, and his, at least his, like, his actual league team, he runs a team that's Torkoal, which is fire. He has Goodra, which, you know, that's pure dragon. Turtonator, which is a fire dragon. Flygon, which is a ground dragon. And Duraludon, which is a steel dragon. So that one's a little bit better. Right. You know, that's an actual dragon team. A dragon team with three dragon moves instead of two. But, you know, like, yeah, I get it. You know, you have a lot. You want to have a lot of moves because your coverage and blah, 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 all that stuff. But this guy, like, if he was the unbeatable Leon's, you know, main rival, no wonder Leon is
such
freaking
a chump.
Like, he's a cakewalk. Also, I would like to repeat, Leon should be in prison. I'm just going to toss that one out there because we will cover more. No, on next week's episode, I will lay out my case for why Leon should be behind bars.
It's fine. Like I said, we'll talk about this more next week because I think there's a number of things about the championship which I really, really liked, and then we'll go into the really awful end game. But no, but I think like the first three gyms were super easy, kind of like you would expected. The middle gyms were fine. The last three, kind of a cakewalk, but I get it given the way and the changes that they make for the finals and all that.
It makes sense in that, you know, these gym challenges this is the first game which specifically addresses the fact that some of these gyms are way too easy. It's like, okay, why is this gym leader running around with level 9 Pokemon? And the answer is because it's deliberate. He's he has a real team. He's just not using them. Like, yeah. I actually appreciated they finally took care of one of the big gaping plot holes in the Pokemon franchise, which are how are these the 8 strongest trainers when I can like crush them with my level 20 Pokemon? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And so the answer is it's a deliberate process. Yep. They're trying to weed people out.
Yeah. They know their place in the grand scheme of things. And they know that they are the first gym to go. Like, there is, you don't do these gyms out of order. You do them in the right order.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they are how they are. Real quick, let's talk about some of the best end game Pokemon for you to have sort of in this last stretch of things. And obviously, you know, Grimmsnarl is one that we've talked about over and over and over and over again. But mm-hmm. he really is, like, if he is not on your team, I do not know what you're doing. Because... Yeah. He is good for what you need in the game and like for the challenges that the game puts up against you. Grimmsnarl, you will use him at least once every big battle that you come up against.
Yeah, the only time that you really don't use Grimmsnarl is during, you know, your fight against Rose and his like henchmen, because Rose runs a steel team and, you know, he's weak against that. But yeah, otherwise, once Grimmsnarl was in my team, like, he stayed there. Like, you know, I had Impidimp in my team, instant permanent addition. He's got a great diverse moveset, can do a lot. I really like Grimmsnarl. Another one I really liked is Colossal.
Yeah, me too.
He was another one where between the fact that, you know, whenever he gets hit by a water move, like, he's bulky enough that he can survive a lot of water attacks. And mm-hmm. also, you do not run into a lot of water Pokemon in this game.
You don't.
Like, I'm shocked by that. And he's a fire rock. So, you know, he suffers from the fact where he's quadruply, you know, he's got a double weakness to water types, but his speed goes up significantly. Yeah. And
so you can get hits in even if, like, you're on the ropes.
Yeah. So what I did a lot with Colossal was, you know, he would be my starter, my starter Pokemon in a lot of battles when I just didn't know who I was going up against, because I could throw Tar Shot on them, which lowers their speed, makes them weak to fire. And then I'd hit them with I was mainly using Fire Press at that point.
Mm.
And, you know, that, you know, because
I used Flame Charge quite a bit. To get the speed there.
Yeah.
And then ended up using Flame Press. That's the one where he jumps up and lands.
Well, he's so heavy that, you know, unless you're going up against like some really big bruisers, like, you know, and also, you know, the reason I like Tar Shot is it makes Pokemon, no matter what their typing is, it makes them weak to fire types.
Yeah.
So it makes that Heat Press that much more useful. I really like, you know, Colossal. He just has a really good setup for, you know, an in-game setup. I haven't really seen too many competitive builds with him because I think that, you know, his quadruple weakness to water just really is a killer. But I'm sure somebody will get smart and figure out a way to use him.
Yeah.
Then the last one is Dragapult. Which, you know, is it's your pseudo legendary ghost dragon.
Where do you find Dragapult?
The Lake of Outrage. So you have to evolve him from either a Dreepy or whatever the middle evolution is. So you can only find him in certain weather conditions. I think. But yeah, I got a Dragapult and I really like him because he's super fast. You know, he could hit a little bit harder. His attack and special attack aren't super great, but he's so fast. And... Yeah. I love his design because he has 2 Dreepy. So he's basically a stealth bomber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a stealth bomber with a body hanging off. And he has 2 Dreepies that are, like, nestled into his missile, like, base. And he shoots them out.
Cool design.
I absolutely love it. I was like, I want this Pokemon. Like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, I shall make it mine. So that's the other one that, like, and he's got good coverage. I mean, Ghost Dragon, you know, we haven't seen one of those, I don't think, ever. I'm trying to think if Giratina is a Ghost Dragon or not. He might be. I can't remember.
I also used, and now I'm forgetting his name because I didn't use him that much, but the bug psychic.
Orbeetle. Psychic,
yeah, Orbeetle. I used Orbeetle quite a bit on my team. It was kind of a backup for me in a number of situations, really mainly for he was basically my psychic go-to. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, you know, the bug type has its very obvious weaknesses, but their weaknesses you don't really come across as far as like in the battles, as the battles go in the game. And so he actually is a pretty good sort of ringer to have on the team because, like I said, the psychic types are great. And then if you've got something that's weak against bug, he's got some pretty strong bug type moves, which I appreciated.
Orbeetle was a weird one. For me, like, I liked him, but, you know, I just didn't really have a good spot. And I was really trying to make Hatterene work. Mm. Hatterene doesn't really work.
No.
I mean, Hatterene... Okay, so Hatterene, there's probably a competitive use for Hatterene, in that Hatterene is so slow, that Pokemon will be viable in Trick Room teams. But in terms of the game, I just couldn't really do much with Hatterene. I was a little bit disappointed by that Pokemon.
Yeah.
And it's really bizarre design that reminded me of inappropriate things.
I had already had a number of, I didn't need any more fire Pokemon on my team, but I really did. Like, I tried Centiscorch out a little bit and it was weird because I found myself really beginning to build a bug type team at one point because I had that fairy the fairy bug for a while and I was just and I was just like, I was like, I had that, and then I had Orbeetle, and then I had Centiscorch on my team for a bit, and I was like, what the hell am I doing? I am that weird bug trainer that you come across in the early part of the games. Like, no, I can't have that.
There's Jim running around with in shorts and with a net.
But it was, I just thought, I found it interesting because like the moves that they were sort of coming with and some of the things that they were able to do, I was like, oh, this is actually pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then I quickly I inevitably, as I got further and further into the game, I found better Pokemon, but
usually how it goes.
All right. Well, we'll stop there and we'll go to the fact of the week and we'll close this baby out.
Okay. So we're continuing our jaunt down the Pokedex. So we're talking about Ekans this week. There is a couple of like cool little factoids that I found out about Ekans. The one of the big ones, actually this one is about Arbok. This is not the Poke Fact of the Week. But I just thought this is a cool little trivia fact. Arbok has different, in the early Pokemon games, Arbok has different faces in every game. It actually has like two or three variant faces, and it gets referenced in its Pokedex entry. So that's a cool little factoid that I didn't realize until today. However, the actual Pokemon fact of the week is, so weirdly enough, Ekans, while it's a poison type Pokemon, has no teeth. Why is that?
I have no idea. I always wondered about that.
The reason why is because it's an egg eating snake. Literally actual egg eating snakes do not have, they don't have teeth, so that they can swallow the egg whole. So instead, and you know, Ekans, its design is actually based on this. It detaches its jaw and it eats Pidgey and Spearow eggs, full. That's actually in its Pokedex entry. Cool. It's an actual egg eating snake. So the weird factoid about egging snakes, by the way, because apparently I'm just turned into a biologist this moment, is so while they don't have snakes, or while they don't have teeth, they do have these ridges on the inside part of its spine. So as that egg goes down its body, that's how the egg gets like broken. That's how it breaks eggshells, is with these like spines in the inside of its actual like they're actually like spikes on the inside of its spine, and those are the cool. equivalents to its teeth. Yeah, it's really freaking weird.
Huh.
But yeah, so that's why Ekans has no teeth. Arbok nice. Does because it's a cobra.
Easy peasy. All right, let's get to some reviews, and then we'll close this baby up. So if you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and we read it on the air, not only will you feel cool that you had your review read on the show, but we will also send you a free Pokemon, not Pokemon, we will send you a free comicbook.com t-shirt free of charge. So this one is from Mr. Intensity. It's simply amazing. I want to say, hi, crew. I'm 29 years old, and I was really out of Pokemon in general because I was not motivated enough to even watch anything Pokemon related. But thanks to you guys, I found my passion for Pokemon all over again, and how. I feel like a kid watching the 90s cartoon playing and doing the playing card games. I even took my Nintendo SP from the dusty old box to play Fire Red. Now, being so into Pokemon that I finished Pokemon Shield plus completed the 400 decks and never was more excited to finish a dex in my life, but you guys are amazing. And the only sad part about the new gen is we did not have the best rock type Pokemon of all time, Geodude. So back off, because you got another Geodude fan, Geodude 2020, baby. Hurrah! Thank you, Mr. Intensity.
There are apparently two of you in existence.
Exactly two. Apparently more than that because Geodude was also on Jeopardy. Anyway, next one. This is a short one. Good stuff from Mudkip14. I tried to come up with a complaint, but nothing happened.
Yeah.
That was very, very, very good. And this one is from Mr. Clean 157. I have only been listening to listening since a couple of weeks before the release of Sword and Shield, but this is one of my favorite podcasts. I look forward to hearing the news updates and opinions from the group each week, and the Pokemon facts from Christian are just a ton of fun. This is now a highlight of my Thursdays, and I can't wait for all the episodes to come. P.S. Dracofish is an adorable abomination.
Yes, yes. And by the way, it was pointed out to me that yesterday in my last week in my sleepy haze, I kept saying Arctifish when I meant Dracovish. Dracovish is the adorable abomination that will also be a beast in competitive play. My apologies. I didn't get enough sleep last week.
So, if you would like an opportunity to get a free comicbook.com t-shirt, all you gotta do is, like I said, head over to iTunes, 5-star review. We'll read it on the air. We don't do them every week. We do them. Sometimes we let some of them stack up and we'll do them from time to time. And please allow us 3 to 4 weeks to get the shirts out. Get to the process of getting mail out of here is a bit of a process. So anyway, this show, if you're new, subscribe any way you can on, if you have a podcast app that aggregates a bunch of all your podcasts, you can do it there. If you just do iTunes or the podcast app there, Spotify, iHeartRadio, anywhere that you can get podcasts, this show is. So, feel free to hit us up, whenever, wherever. You could also listen to the podcast on the site in any of our anime or gaming stories. So check that out. If you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, you can find me at Jim Viscardi.
And you can find me at Seehofer Seabus.
And if you want to get in touch with Megan, who is not here today, Megan Peters CB at Twitter. Just at her just for fun. Just be like, hey, where were you?
Yeah. So,
PTO. Like, we missed you. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, that's all the time we got for today. Next week is going to be a doozy in the deep dive because, like I said, that end game, if you haven't gotten there yet, it's really weird.
Will next week be our last episode of the year since, we've got Christmas and New Year's coming up?
Is Christmas on a Wednesday?
It is.
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe next week may be the last one for the year. We'll see. We'll figure it out. And if you're listening to this in 2022, maybe we figured it out. I don't know.
Stay tuned next week for more answers.
Could you just imagine someone coming across this, you know, podcast 3 years from now, wanting to start from the beginning and be like, wow, they really had a dilemma of trying to figure out if they were going to do another episode the week of Christmas.
It's like, oh man, like I have to immediately skip to the next episode to find out what happens.
All right, folks, we'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening.